Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and I will be flying solo today. Father McKay would love to be here, but in his additional role as rector at the retreat house at Malvern, he was summoned out for business today, a board meeting that will take place there tonight, so he's out there preparing for that. So that means unless you want to listen to my voice for the next hour, you're going to have to call in, and we'll give out the phone numbers in a minute. But before we do, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayers and your financial support that have kept us on the air for a long, long time. And we just ask you to continue to do what you can, especially in these trying times between In His Sign and the Catholic Society and Our House Ministries. I get to see a little bit, not so much here within His Sign, but with Our House Ministries, you know, what goes on in the background of charitable organizations, and with the state of the economy, despite what you hear on the news or in the newspaper. The cost of living is up. Everybody knows it. The price of gas is up. Eggs are up. Bread, all the necessities, utilities. And so those that continue to support us financially, we are truly grateful for all that you do for us. And we certainly understand how critical it is both for you and for us at this time in order to continue to bring you shows like these, especially with the state of the world, the state of the church, and you know, everything that's going on, even in our own local communities. So thank you again for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. One of the things I don't mention often and probably should is we're always looking for sponsors for this particular show. If you care to sponsor an hour, either in the 4 o'clock hour with Saints and Sinners or the 5 o'clock hour that I host, What the World Needs Now, you can get in touch with Maureen here, and she'll give you all the details on how to make that happen. The Matt Talbot Shrine is open in St. Gabriel's Church on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We encourage you to come down and pay us and Matt Talbot a visit, especially if you know somebody that's struggling with addiction. People stop in and we'll put entries in our prayer log, especially for those that struggle with addiction. And hopefully, you know, they see some relief. Coming up next Tuesday, the third Tuesday of each month, we have our Matt Talbot Holy Hour with benediction and Mass. And it starts at 6 o'clock in St. Gabriel's Church. The first hour is a holy hour where we have adoration and confessions are heard. And then 7 o'clock, we'll have Mass. And it's offered for all the intentions that are in that in our prayer book. So come on down and pay us a visit. Join us for the holy hour and Mass, and pray for all those that are in recovery, that they can continue to stay in recovery, for those that are in need of recovery, and those that love them. We do have a retreat opportunity coming up. It's not this coming weekend, but the following. Out at Malvern, there's a Matt Talbot Women's Retreat. It'll be the first women's retreat hosted by Malvern. There may be other retreats that rent the space out there, but this will be the first women's Matt Talbot weekend. And again, that's September 22nd to the 24th. You can register online at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. And speaking of money, as we did at the very outset here, our golf outing is coming up on Tuesday, October the 17th. It's just about a month away. So we have all the information up on our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and you can click on the link to download the brochure. It has all the information regarding sponsorship opportunities as well as golf opportunities. And for those that don't play golf, if you just want to join us for the dinner, you can do that as well. We'll get started around 11 o'clock with or 10:30 or so with registration. Lunch at 11, golf at noon. There'll be a cocktail hour at 5 o'clock, dinner at 6, which will include a silent auction. And again, this is one of two big fundraisers we have each year, this along with the Wake Up America dinner. So whatever you can do to support the golf outing this year is certainly appreciated. You did hear that right. It's Tuesday, October the 17th. We usually play on a Monday. And the venue has also changed this year. We'll be at Talmore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. So again, you can get all the details on our website at inhissign.com. So I haven't gotten the announcements out of the way. Let's begin with prayer, and then we'll get into the saints and the sinners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Camillus de Lillis and St. John of God, pray for us. St. John Chrysostom, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us. And all the saints and angels, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, just a quick note on that. Mary conceived without sin. Many people are familiar with it. And the part that's added on the third response where we pray for the enemies of Holy Church was a prayer composed by St. Maximilian Kolbe. And we'll often pray it at our house ministries, our Calyx meetings, our 12 o'clock noon prayers at the shrine on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And, you know, Maximilian Kolbe, you know, one of his efforts in starting the Knights of the Immaculata was to combat the enemies of the church in general, and specifically the Freemasons. And so that part of the prayer, I think, is even more critical in this day and age with the number of enemies that the church has, both within and without. And so I encourage you to, if you don't have that prayer, to look it up. You can easily search it on the internet and find it. I also saw a video yesterday on YouTube put out by Christine Watkins, who has been on the show a couple of times. And on September the 8th, last Friday, I believe, people all over the country and probably all over the world have started praying the St. Joseph Holy Cloak Novena. Both for some of the things that are going on currently that are, you know, they're out in the news. It's not, you've probably already seen it, things going on with Bishop Strickland in Texas, and the upcoming synod on synodality in October in Rome. And so we need to be all prayed up. Pray for our church and pray for ourselves individually, that whatever battles confront us, whatever near occasions of sin confront us and the leaders of the church, that they act in accordance with God's will and preserve our church. So that's where that prayer comes from. And also, speaking of Maximilian Kolbe, Brian Gale, who used to host a show here on Mondays called Our Recourse, and he would have a lot of guests on from the Knights of Immaculata. Many of them I have met on retreat out at Malvern in November, which, as a matter of fact, that retreat's coming up the weekend before Thanksgiving, the Knights of Immaculata. But Brian Gale, Father McKay, Mary B. D'Amico, Mike Norton, and others have started a Militia Immaculata Village at Malvern. We had the inaugural meeting back on August 14th, St. Maximilian Kolbe's feast day. And it looks like now, at least for the time being, the village is going to meet on the second Thursday of each month, which will be tomorrow night, September the 14th. And we'll be out at Malvern in Upper McShane Hall, which is right next to the dining hall. It gets underway at 7 o'clock, where we'll have prayers, including a rosary. We'll have a reading from some of St. Maximilian Kolbe's writings, and then Father McKay will be offering Mass. Tomorrow is also the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. We'll talk about that in the second half of the show, so we'll be celebrating that tomorrow night at Malvern as well. But all are more than welcome. At the end of Mass, for those that are interested and willing, you can make the consecration that St. Maximilian Kolbe wrote in order to become a Knight of the Immaculata. Unlike other consecrations or other groups that you may join, the Knights of Immaculata, the idea is that we consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, and that we continue to bring the Blessed Mother and Jesus into everything we do in life. So it's not like another sodality or a fraternity or something like that where there's regular meetings, although this village that has started out at Malvern is available for those that want to come in and get re-energized to meet other knights and learn more about Maximilian Kolbe. And even though it's called the Knights of Immaculata, it's not just for men. Women are certainly invited as well. I think when we met last month in August, it was about a 50-50 split of men and women. So come on out. Check it out. If you don't like it, you don't have to come back. If you do, you'll be welcome back every month. As I mentioned, Father McKay is not going to be here. So if you want to call in and give me a break from talking, the numbers here today are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Once your calls, especially as we approach the bottom of the hour, when we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. We are currently in the 23rd week in Ordinary Time. Time is just flying by. Yesterday, the 12th, we celebrated the Holy Name of Mary. Today, the 13th, we celebrate the Golden Tongue, St. John Chrysostom. Tomorrow, the 14th, as mentioned, we celebrate the Exaltation of the Cross. On Friday, the 15th, Our Lady of Sorrows. And on Saturday, the 16th, two martyrs, Pope Cornelius and St. Cyprian, Bishop. So, as we tend to like to do on these Wednesdays, is when we have the saint of the day, that's who we usually start with. And so, we'll start with St. John Chrysostom. He was born in the year 349. He would die on September the 14th in the year 407. And he was a great preacher. And that's where the Chrysostom on his name, that really wasn't his surname. It was it means golden mouthed. And he was from Antioch. And he was brought to Constantinople after a dozen years of being a priest in Syria. He found himself the reluctant victim of an imperial ruse to make him bishop in the greatest city of the empire. He was an ascetic, unimposing but dignified, and troubled by stomach ailments from his desert days as a monk, and quickly became a bishop under the cloud of imperial politics. Even though his body may have been weak, not his tongue, his sermons were great. His exegesis of scripture was never without a point, and sometimes his sermons would last up to 2 hours. Could you imagine that, folks, if we had one of our priests at church got up and gave a two-hour sermon? If they didn't get up and leave, they'd probably be stoning them. You got people looking at their watches after 7 or 8 minutes. But I guess because he was golden mouthed, that people were more than willing to listen. His life at Imperial Court was not liked by a whole lot of people that came before him. He offered a modest table and these bishops and what have you that would come around for imperial and ecclesiastical favors. He actually deplored the court protocol. And as the bishop, he would get this precedence before higher state officials, and didn't like it at all, and didn't want to be a kept man. As a result, he made some decisive actions. Bishops who bribed their way into office were deposed. His sermons called for people to share their wealth with the poor. The rich didn't really appreciate it, especially when John told them that private property existed because of Adam's fall from grace, and they also didn't like it when he talked about married men being bound to marital fidelity just as much as their wives were. And this would come back to haunt him later on, especially in the final years of his life. But he just let everybody know there are no double standards. You know, you follow the gospel. As a result, both the politicians and the leaders of the church didn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about him. As a matter of fact, they tried to get rid of him on a number of occasions, would tell lies, heresies, accuse him of heresy, anything and everything that they could do in order to try to get him in trouble. There was an Archbishop of Alexandria, Theophilus, and the Empress Eudoxia. They were the ones that really wanted to discredit John. And they feared the growth of his importance as the Bishop of Constantinople. And they started to charge him with, like I said, fostering heresy. Theophilus and the other bishops that didn't like John much were supported by this Empress Eudoxia. And she really got upset when John Chrysostom would mention sermons and include her name along with Jezebel and Herodias. And that was the tipping point for Eudoxia, and she would finally have John exiled in the year 407. And it was shortly after he was exiled that he would die. We've got a few minutes here, and we actually looked at the gospel for today's Mass from the optional readings for St. John Chrysostom at a contemplative prayer group we have down at Our House Ministries. And anybody's more than welcome to join us. We get together at 9:30 on Wednesday mornings, and we read the gospel a couple of times, starting the night before to prepare for this contemplative hour. And it was in the course of that Father McKay this morning mentioned the Office of Readings, which contains a homily by St. John Chrysostom. And it's really, really well done. Of course, coming from somebody nicknamed Golden Mouth, you'd think it would be good. And it was interesting to me because when you read it, you'd never know that this was written 1600 or 1700 years ago, that it was it's as profound today as I'm sure it was when he first preached it. And the Office of Readings, for those that don't pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you know, you're probably more familiar with morning prayer and evening prayer. There's multiple prayers during the day that I'm not so sure that even all the religious get all those prayers in, the mid-morning, the noon, the mid-afternoon. But the primary ones, morning prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and a great one is the Office of Readings. And each day there'll be a reading from Scripture, and then the second reading, if there's a saint for the day, it'll be taken from one of his writings or his homilies. at other times in throughout the liturgical calendar, may flow through particular writings of well-known saints and what have you. And so today, this was in today's second reading in the Office of Readings, and it was written by St. John Chrysostom, or a homily given by St. John Chrysostom. And it reads like this: "The waters have risen and severe storms are upon us, but we do not fear drowning, for we stand firmly upon a rock. Let the sea rage, it cannot break the rock. Let the waves rise, they cannot sink the boat of Jesus. What are we to fear? Death? Life to me means Christ, and death is gain. Exile? The earth and its fullness belong to the Lord. The confiscation of our goods? We brought nothing into this world, and we shall surely take nothing from it. I have only contempt for the world's threats. I find its blessings laughable. I have no fear of poverty, no desire for wealth. I am not afraid of death, nor do I long to live, except for your good. I concentrate, therefore, on the present situation, and I urge you, my friends, to have confidence. Do you not hear the Lord saying, 'Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst'? Will he be absent then, when so many people united in love are gathered together? I have his promise. I am surely not going to rely on my own strength. I have what he has written. That is my staff, my security, my peaceful harbor. Let the world be in upheaval. I hold to his promise and read his message. That is my protecting wall and garrison. What message? Know that I am with you always, until the end of the world. If Christ is with me, whom shall I fear? Though the waves and the sea and the anger of princes are roused against me, they are less to me than a spider's web. Indeed, unless you, my brothers, had detained me, I would have left this very day. For I always say, Lord, your will be done. Not what this fellow or that would have me do, but what you want me to do. That is my strong tower, my immovable rock, my staff that never gives way. If God wants something, let it be done. If he wants me to stay here, I am grateful. But wherever he wants me to be, I am no less grateful. Yet where I am, there you are too, and where you are, I am. For we are a single body, and the body cannot be separated from the head, nor the head from the body. Distance separates us, but love unites us, and death itself cannot divide us. For though my body die, my soul will live and be mindful of my people." And this is the last paragraph. "You are my fellow citizens, my fathers, my brothers, my sons, my limbs, my body. You are my light, sweeter to me than the visible light. For what can the rays of the sun bestow on me that is comparable to your love? The sun's light is useful in my earthly life, but your love is fashioning a crown for me in the life to come." And I read this passage a couple of times today, and it just kept striking me how it, like I said, it's so profound today as it would have been 1500 years ago, 1600 years ago, when he first preached it, especially in the beginning. The waters have risen and severe storms are upon us, and look at what's going on around the world. And I'm not usually one to watch the regular news, various news feeds that I take a look at on a fairly regular basis, just to keep it up to date with what's going on. And you know, read earlier today about the hurricane typhoon and the flooding in Libya. It looks like it's going to take over 2,000 lives. And so I read this right after I heard about that. "The waters have risen and severe storms are upon us, but we do not fear drowning, for we stand firmly upon a rock." And this world can throw all kinds of things at us. It can throw financial troubles. It can throw health issues. It can throw addiction at us personally or to the family members. All kinds of havoc can be wreaked in our lives by our own accord or by that of others. You know, certainly nobody asked for a lot of the things that are going on today, particularly in this country, you know, where the economy and other things are concerned. But we have to find a way to deal with it and bear it and continue on. And the good news is we do have the rock. We have Jesus Christ. We are not citizens of this world. We need to, you know, do our time and do the best we can while we're here. And part of that doing the best we can is to help our brothers and sisters. And that's just not, you know, financially through donations and those types of things. It's by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And that regardless of what's going on in our lives here, that in the grand scheme of things, the time we spend here is very short. And that we have all of eternity to spend with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's with that Christian hope, that Catholic hope, that we know that whatever crosses are given us here, that we can find a way to bear them. The beauty, as mentioned here by John Chrysostom, that he talks about his fellow citizens, my fathers, his brothers, my sons, my limbs, my body. You are my light, sweeter to me than the visible light. That it's in being part of the mystical body of Christ by the prayers and praying for one another, that and supporting one another in the spiritual life, which can have its own struggles, and all the crosses that, you know, may come our way to help each other carry those crosses. Sometimes it's just by being there and giving a shoulder to cry on, giving an ear to listen. And sometimes that's all people need is somebody to listen. A lot of times we work out our own issues, given the time. It's profound to me. And spending a number of years in a 12-step program, how many times I've gone and shared a burden and gotten the answer before I left, and it didn't come from somebody else. It was usually just by putting it out there that somehow or other the answers managed to come to us. Early on, I wasn't quite sure where they were coming from. I know where those answers come from today. But we don't always get them directly. They're not planted in our mind by God or the Holy Spirit. That sometimes it does require that conversation that we have with somebody else. The beauty of the 12-step program is you're more or less forced to bond with at least one other person intimately in order to make your way through the steps, and we usually call them a sponsor. And for me, I don't particularly have a 12-step sponsor now, but I have many, many spiritual sponsors, people that I can talk to and have conversations with, spiritual conversations. And it's where the answers come from. And whenever, you know, we're down and not sure how we're going to, you know, face the next day or the next week or the next month, when those times do come, when those dark times come, to have those spiritual friends is a huge advantage. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as part of my Otter God when we come back for the break. It's not always so easy to find those spiritual friends. I've shared it before, I think, that when I first encountered people that were in recovery from alcoholism, I often hear them say that they were grateful recovering alcoholics. And when I first heard that, I thought, how can anybody ever be grateful to have this disease? And it's like saying I'm a grateful cancer patient or anything else. But so many times, whether it's alcoholism or cancer or some other illness or some other burden, when we're forced to bond with other people or to seek solutions or God puts people in our lives, that those relationships are really what help us to grow on the spiritual journey. And then I understood why people were grateful to have this disease, because it put people in their lives that they normally never would have encountered. And, you know, these aren't necessarily priests and bishops and great theologians. These are you know, Yale to jail, run-of-the-mill people who have been through the ringer and have developed a relationship with Jesus Christ to the point where they can't wait to share it with others. And eventually, that's the hope for all of us. And that's why I do what I do today, whether it's working with Our House Ministries, doing these radio shows, being involved in the organization of the Calyx Society. It's all my way of trying to give back to people what God has given me, and certainly beyond my wildest dreams. So I've managed to race past the bottom of the hour. The phone numbers, want your calls for the Odd or God segment, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're calling from a distance and want to call toll-free, get us at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Just a quick update on what's going on with the Calyx Society here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington, Delaware. The Calyx Society is a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I and a bunch of others get together every Tuesday evening in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. That's the former Bill Shea Funeral Home. We start at 6 o'clock p.m. with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, which is coming up next week, September the 19th, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church for a couple hours. The first hour is a holy hour where we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. We have confessions are heard, and we conclude the hour with benediction. And then at 7 o'clock, we have Mass, and that Mass is offered for all those that are in recovery, those that should be in recovery, and those that love them. So all are more than welcome to come down and join with us and pray for all those who struggle with addiction, both in and out of recovery. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They meet on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be next Thursday, the 21st. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They go to the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass, and Calyx meeting follows. They will meet on Saturday, October the 14th. They just met this past Saturday. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of the month. That's this coming Saturday, the 16th. We join the parish for the 8:30 morning Mass and have our Calyx meeting after. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet next on September the 30th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, the Calyx unit meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday, 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. So that'll be this evening, 6:15 Mass, followed by Calyx. My guest in the 5 o'clock hour today is going to be Mary Beth Bracey from Sophia Institute. There's a couple of books on St. Therese of Lisieux that have been republished by Sophia, and Mary Beth will be talking to us about both of them. So we'll have the whole hour to talk about the little flower. And before we get back to the saints, we have an Honor God segment. Unfortunately, we didn't get any phone calls. So we'll only have my Otter God. You can still give us a ring at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. The Otter God I have happened at the end of last week. I got a text message from a friend of mine over in South Jersey. And they were putting together a communion breakfast for the parish, and were having trouble lining up speakers and or a speaker, and they reached out to me to see if either I or somebody I knew would be willing to come over and give a talk. And a couple weekends a month, I tend to escape with my wife to our place in the Poconos, but I'm going to be in town the weekend that this was going on, and I let them know I could be there if they would have me. And the Otter God is that the situation was explained to me as to what was going on, and it just hit me that not only the folks that I'll be with on that day, but all of us are in desperate need of Holy Communions. And there's more than one kind of Holy Communion. Certainly the Holy Communion that we receive at Mass in the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the ultimate Holy Communion that that we can receive. But back in July, we had, or maybe it was the beginning of August, I had a guest on, Gil Bailey, and my good friend Bill Wynn joined us. And we talked a little bit about Holy Communions versus Unholy Communions and conversations, ongoing conversations I've had with Bill around the same topic, and just how important these Holy Communions were. And when I was talking to the person who asked me to do the communion breakfast, I had mentioned this topic, and they thought that it was ideal for the situation. And so that's what I've been able to get from all these different things that I'm a part of these days. And I started to look back and preparing the talk and seeing all the Holy Communions that I've made over the years. Again, not just communion on Sunday for a long time and as a daily communicant more recently, but those Holy Communions that God has afforded me through relationships I've made, and whether it was in a 12-step room, whether it's in a Calyx meeting or at Our House Ministries or my parish, in the men's group, that there's all these other holy communions where we get together with other people when the center of it is God. And those are holy communions. And then I look back at my life and the number of unholy communions I was involved in over the years. And every once in a while, you can still get pulled into them. And it's not intentional. And most of the time, I certainly wouldn't join in intentionally. But, you know, sometimes you just find yourself with a group of people and the conversation isn't right or not what you would prefer. The next thing you know, you're in the midst of an unholy communion. And you watch what's going on in the world and the unholy communions that have formed, especially over the last 150 years. And the attacks on the church, like I said at the outset, whether it's from within or without. And it's, you know, getting to the point now where it's really going to be the holy communions against the unholy communions. And going to be interesting to watch over the coming years to see how God works all this out in this one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So we did manage to grab one caller. We're going to go to the line and get Frank. Hello, Frank.
Sorry about that.
Hey, Frank, how you doing, pal?
The devil is trying to stop me from talking to you and Father Doug. Last week I tried to get through twice, but there was a connection, a problem with the phone lines, whatever.
Yeah.
Today, yeah. Father Doug's out. I got a little scared, Ken, because I forgot it was Wednesday. I mean, I forgot you're on a Wednesday. I was talking to Captain Lou. He reminded me. He either reminds me or I remind him. And then Father Doug wasn't talking. I got nervous and told whatever.
Yeah, nah, it's all good. He was he had a meeting that he had to attend to this afternoon, so
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I said it before back in July when he went to rehab. He's a friend of mine, Captain Lewis. You and Father Doug met him, I think, just once or twice at the Catholic Society. His first name's John. He got out of rehab, but he's not doing good. I'm just asking for InterSign prayer people, prayer words, I'm sorry. Say a prayer for him. His first name is John. He's having a hard time just to start getting sober and maybe hopefully stay there.
Yeah.
I keep stressing the importance, you know, how great it is once you get there, but it's not connecting.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's listening.
Yeah, well, that happens for so many of us, doesn't it, Frank? I remember back in the day when you were having trouble connecting.
Yes.
And now I listen to you today, so you're the poster child for, you know, going from despair and depression to, you know, being pretty vocal about how important it is for people to get connected and do the right thing. And so
yeah,
we will.
Many times you, Father Doug, I was crying because alcohol is a depressant.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I was just so sad.
Yeah.
And Captain Lou, he's all hung in there. I told John, I got a lot of medical problems. It stinks. But I feel great, Ken. I feel great. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It feels great being sober.
Amen. Amen. Why don't we pray for John right now?
Thanks,
in the name
Ken.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, for those of us that are in recovery, we thank you for that gift. For those that are new to recovery, we ask you that you continue to open their hearts and minds and souls to the gift that you want to give them, the gift of sobriety, the gift of joy and peace that this world cannot give them. But they have to find a way to get it from you and through you. And a lot of times that comes through other people. So we pray for John in particular, but for all those early in recovery that they open their hearts and minds and souls to the gift that you want to give them, both in freedom from the use of whatever it is that they're addicted to, but more importantly, the joy and peace that you want to give them through your one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And we ask this as we ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the
Thanks,
Father,
Ken.
And the Son,
Appreciate
and the Holy
it.
Spirit. You're welcome, Frank. It's always good to hear your voice, brother. It's wonderful
sure.
when you've known people for a long time and you see them go from, or you get to be a part of their spiritual journey, that you know them when they weren't doing all that great. And, you know, God doesn't always let us know that people are doing real well. And, you know, obviously because of your relationship with Captain Lou and us and what have you, you've managed to stay in touch, and we've gotten to witness the miracle that took place in you. So we thank you for keeping us up to date, brother.
Hey, Ken, one more thing.
Sure.
You hit the nail right in the head. You, Father Doug, and Captain Lou, It wasn't for you, because many other people gave up on me. U Street, the Holy Trinity, never gave up on me. It took me years, but I got it. Yeah. Thanks, Ken.
All right, thank you, Frank. Bye-bye. Take care now. So, our good friend Frank, and we do, we should, I'd ask you to pray for all those that are early in, especially early in recovery. They're fragile, especially in this day and age. It's so easy for them to give up hope quickly and not having all the tools they may need in order to avoid what it is that they're addicted to and find themselves lured back. And unfortunately today, with what's on the streets, you get lured back, and it could be the your last time back. And so I ask you to keep in prayer all those that have overdosed recently, those that have passed away, and especially the family members who are at such a loss for trying to understand what has happened with their loved one. It's not easy. And we have a couple shows coming up, I think, in the not-too-distant future that will deal with that issue specifically. So continue to join us each and every day. We're here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. And then in particular on Wednesdays when Father McKay and I are here from 4 to 5. And in that 5 o'clock hour where we get to interview some great authors and folks in the Catholic world. So we've got about 13 minutes left here. And let's talk about the exaltation of the cross. And got a kind of new spin for me on this as a result of my my trip to Europe back in July, and a new appreciation for St. Helena and all the work that she did in trying to preserve a lot of artifacts and what have you from the time of Jesus Christ. I mentioned when I had gotten back about being able to visit the holy steps that are holy stairs close to St. John Lateran Basilica there, where St. Helena had arranged for the steps that were at Herod's residence. And she somehow or other managed to get them back to Rome and preserve them. And the number of people that visit those stairs, and, you know, it was one of the most moving experiences of my life, knowing that you're going up those steps, and that the same ones that Jesus Christ would have gone up at least twice during his passion, when he first went up and in front of Herod, and then when he went up, went off to see Pontius Pilate and comes back again. Pontius Pilate steps, and Pontius Pilate sent him to Herod, and then he comes back. So at least twice Christ would have climbed those stairs. But one of the other things that St. Helena uncovered as part of other excavations that were going on were as part of a dig, they found all three crosses. And when one of the crosses was touched by someone, a miraculous healing had taken place. And as a result, they believed both in the Eastern Church and the Western Church that this would be the true cross of Christ. And I've got to be honest, in the past, I kind of made light of the cross, and it seemed like at some point almost everybody I knew had a piece of the real cross. So there were enough pieces of the real cross to probably build, you know, hundreds of crosses. But I'm more of a believer now, and certain that they're out there. We're blessed down at Our House Ministries to have in a reliquary the piece of the true cross. And you know, just what a gift that cross is today. You know, it was always a sign of and used to generate fear by the Romans, and what a horrible, despicable way of dying. And it was early in the fourth, you know, obviously Jesus Christ crucified, and, you know, changed the whole meaning of the cross. And as Catholics, as Christians, and especially as Catholics, with the crucifixes that we have as opposed to just the cross, to have the corpus on the cross, to truly see what Christ has did for us in that in that event. And again, it's the Holy Communion versus the Unholy Communion. You know, that Unholy Communion being the crowd that got together. You know, one day they're praising Christ and waving palm fronds, and less than a week later, they're calling for him to be crucified. And it wasn't until he was actually hanging on the cross that people were starting to realize that this cross was now going to be a victory sign, a victory symbol. You know, for all of us, it is such a gift. And we have another caller, so we'll go to Kim. And when we come back, a little bit more about the cross. So let's find Kim. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Ken.
How are you, dear?
I'm hanging in there. I'm calling to request prayers for my daughter, Sarah. She's 26, and she is addicted to hard drugs. She had went for rehab about 3 years ago for the same drug addiction, came out, was clean for a while, as far as I know, but I just came to realize last week that she's back on hard drugs again. And refusing rehab, so she doesn't need rehab. She can do it on her own. She's going to do therapy. She said she got nothing out of rehab, sitting in those groups, and 12 steps wasn't for her. You know, she doesn't need the detox. She just wants to go to a therapist or a counselor. And I totally disagree with her. Me and my husband had to put her out of the house. And she moved in with her boyfriend, but I'm very concerned and scared for her, and trying to do the right thing as a mom, you know, and a dad to help her, but ultimately it's in her hands.
Amen.
And I need God's help here.
Yeah. No, it's, I feel for you, and I completely understand, and being an addict myself, unless you're one, you don't understand always the mind of the addict, and everything she is telling you is exactly what every other addict has told their parents or their friends or whoever it was that was trying to get them the help that they needed. But she's got a mind that's telling her that she's not going to be the one that gets the bad bag that causes her to overdose. That she's going to, you know, do it right this time and hang out with the right people that are going to make sure that she's okay as she continues to do what she does. And we pray to God that he protects her long enough that she meets the stranger that's going to help her. I've got a great artist that did a piece of work for me to give to Father McKay. And she since did another piece. And I have her working on a third piece now. I asked her to do that I can put together with what I call the prayer for the stranger. So many times in I've witnessed it where family members are they're just at the end of their own rope, that they're at wit's end trying to figure out what they can do or say or basically do in order to get their loved one the help that they need. And and sometimes, and most of the time, it's not the family member or the close friend. It's some complete stranger that God puts in their path that they're willing to listen to. A lot of times it can be somebody else that's in recovery that they just happen to stumble upon. Or maybe they're working in some kind of outreach, like the folks that will go up to Kensington and other areas where addicts tend to hang out. And, you know, just try to tell them that there is a better way of life. And so I often tell people like yourself that continue to pray. The prayer is always the answer. And that right. We, in this particular case, maybe to pray for that stranger that is going to cross paths with your daughter at some point. And that when that happens, that your daughter has a moment of sanity and is willing to accept the help that's being offered. In the meantime, I'm sure you're aware of groups like Al-Anon and what have you to get together with other folks that are in a similar situation that you are. But I think one of the benefits that you have, obviously, if you're calling a Catholic radio show, you're probably making at least weekly attendance at Mass and have at least a little bit of a prayer life. And if nothing else, your daughter's driven you to that prayer life. That, you know, make use of it and continue to pray for her, that when that moment of serenity happens, that there's somebody there to get her on the straight and narrow. You may have called because we prayed with Frank earlier. How about if we pray for Sarah right now? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, there's so many of our young people that are lost and confused these days, have turned to other things, alcohol, drugs, shopping, food, whatever it is that they're using to find their joy and try to escape the difficulties that they may have encountered. We pray for all of them in general, but particularly today for Sarah, that she experience a moment of sanity that will let her see her life and her addiction for what it really is, that the damage that it's causing not only to herself but those that love her, and that she'll seek the help that she needs, and most importantly, that when that does happen, that the person that can help her the most will be the one that you present to her. And we ask this as we ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're welcome, Kim. And listen, you may have heard Frank that called earlier. If things do turn around for Sarah, let us know. And if they don't, get in touch either by calling into the show again, and know that we'll continue to pray.
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Right. Take care. God bless you. Right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And we're going to go over to Mike. Not on that line. I think it's that one box. Let's see. I think he's still on there. Michael.
How are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you.
Yeah.
When are you coming back?
Last week I tried to call in, and there was a mix-up, but something was going wrong.
Yeah.
But last week I found it donated to Candle Stand to... and that day they called me. I didn't really know it, but it was the same day as my father's birthday, you know, and I said, is that odd or is that God?
Amen.
You know, but I said, I figured I had to call into this, and I was listening to you, and I tried to call in and couldn't get through, but that was my odd of God, and I was just listening to the woman. Like, I don't, you know, I just lost my nephew last year. He's 42 years old. He drove my brother and his wife crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? For years. And, you know, how much can you take, you know? And they took him and they threw him out. He acted like he was going to a halfway house, still using. And I called him up. I said, look at Martin, you're an addict and you can't use under an endocrine. And I'm telling you, because to clear my conscience, because when you die, I'm going to know I told you so. And this is what these kids need to hear. And it's true. Like, I got to clear my conscience, because they don't care. They'll kill you before it kills them. And how much you can take? How much can you take? And I can't enable the addict. I cannot enable him. I can't give him money so he can. You know, I can't let him tell me lies and me feed into it and give him money. I can't do that. I can't enable the addict. And I feel sorry for the lady. And I never lost a kid or not yet. But hopefully I don't. But I know I can't enable the addict and the alcoholic. I cannot give them money to get high. And, I give them money to go get high and they die. Then I'll be grieving, really grieving the rest of my life. But, it's a killer, man. It's so powerful. And, we hear how it works and the promises. And, you gotta hang around till the miracle happens.
Amen.
It will happen. But you can't drink a drug under any old conditions. And more will be revealed.
You got it, Michael.
Our cross is to bear is not to drink or drug, and God will reveal himself to you.
That's right.
How true that is.
Right. So. All right, Michael, we're up against it. Well, hope to see you soon. You coming back anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm down the shore right now, but, right. Hopefully I'll be stopping in.
All right, pal, look forward to it. All right, be good. God bless you.
Take care, buddy.
You too. All right. Well, that just about winds up our first hour of Saints and Sinners. I just got notified that our guest for the 5 o'clock hour is already on the line. So we will we'll join Mary Beth in just a second and talk about St. Therese of Lisieux. Again, thank you for being with us in the first hour. And stick around. You're not going to want to miss the second hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.